You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, everybody. I'm Dean Wheeler, and I'm going to host a few minutes here of our broadcast. And we're going to be talking today a little bit about what's going on here at the Republican National Convention. As you can hear in the background, I'm sitting here in what you would probably traditionally call a smoke-filled back room. And it's kind of a fun thing to be a part of, because we are going to sit here this afternoon and we're going to hear how the Republican National Convention will adopt the platform for the party. And I think that's kind of a neat deal. I think that's kind of an exciting thing for us to be able to take a look at, and kind of the ins and the outs of how our country goes about the process and how our political parties go about the process of constructing their individual philosophies. So it's kind of a behind-the-scenes take on how things work here from the Republican National Convention in Philadelphia. Again, my name is Dean Wheeler. That's Wheeler, W-H, two E's, a little bit of an L, then throw another E in there and drop an R on the end. You've got Wheeler. I'm Dean Wheeler. And as we move about the room here, we're going to take a look at some of the planks that they're adopting for the Republican National Convention. Now, as you know, it's a fait accompli. George W. Bush is the nominee for the Republican Party for president in the year 2000. And that's exciting because this platform that will be adopted here by the Republican National Convention will be the platform upon which George W. Bush will run. Let's go to platform number one. And Trudy, are you going to go ahead and give that to me?
Yeah, okay, Dean.
All right, Trudy Upshaw is with us, and she's with the National Convention Committee here for the adoption of the platform. All right, here is the stand of the Republican Party on immigration. And I think it's kind of an interesting stand. The Republican Party generally falls down on a more conservative line. The Republican Party believes, and this is an exact quote from their platform, that all illegal Mexicans and all illegal immigrants from countries other than Europe or Canada should be herded into concentration-style camps and then exterminated with the use of either gasoline, cyanide, or immolation in a crematorium. They should be worked without pay until they're near death. So there you go. That's just one plank of the Republican Party. Let's take a look now at abortion. And Trudy Upshaw, have you got those people?
How are you doing? Right,
thanks. Don't worry about it. Again, you're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. I'm Dean Wheeler, live from Philadelphia. We're here as the Republican Party hammers out its platform. Okay, so you've got their immigration stand. They will work all non-white illegal immigrants as slave labor until they're near death, and then exterminate them using either a gas chamber or a crematorium. Number two, abortion. Only black people will be allowed to have abortions. Whites will not, so that we can increase the number of white people in our country. In fact, black people and Asians, along with Native Americans and other brown-skinned people, will be encouraged to have abortions. Well, that's kind of an interesting stand, wouldn't you say, Trudy? In light of them reaching out to minorities? Well, Trudy's gone now. She was here. She's gone. Okay, so she stepped out probably to get some coffee. So there is a strong pro-life stand by the Republican Party, but they believe that only blacks should be allowed to have abortions. Okay. All right, then. Uh-huh. Now tax reform. Only Jews will be taxed and their businesses confiscated, and everyone else will be living pretty much a free-ride existence. So the only people who will be taxed will be Jews, their businesses will be taken from them, and they will not be allowed to practice their religion. All right. So that's four planks in the five-plank platform of the Republican Party. Let's go to prayer in schools. Only Christian prayer will be allowed, in fact, encouraged. In fact, if you do not pray and you are not a Christian, you will be sent to one of these concentration camps that they've constructed, And there you'll probably die within 1 or 2 years. You'll never see family members again. And by the way, just as a little extra added touch, a little added addendum, a number will be tattooed on your wrist. So there you have the Republican. Okay, what's that? That's the Republican National Platform? Oh, it's not? Okay. All right, so I'm told now that that... All right, that's my bad. That's my bad. I'm told now that is not the Republican National Convention. You know what I was doing? I was mistakenly reading from Mein Kampf, which was written by Adolf Hitler in the 20s. All right, okay. All right, so we made a little bit of a mistake there. Okay, so you're telling me that Republicans do not want to exterminate Jews. Well, how about that? All right, let me back up a little bit. I made a mistake. I had purchased Mein Kampf at a bookstore just as some escapist reading, something to relax with, and I forgot that I was reading directly from that as I was trying to communicate the Republican National Convention's philosophy there. So I got all mixed up with my notes, and I'm awfully sorry. My Republican notes got mixed in with my Mein Kampf notes. Okay. So let's recap then. I guess, Trudy, what you'd like me to do is recap, or you're going to sue me? All right. Trudy says she'll sue me if I don't recap. So let me recap. Republicans do not want to exterminate Jews and confiscate their businesses, and they would like to tell all African Americans you are included in the pro-life plank. In other words, you don't have to get an abortion. As far as immigration goes, they don't have any particular plans for putting Mexicans into concentration camps yet. Isn't that fair, Trudy? Never? All right. Trudy says don't put the word yet at the end of that. I'm sorry. And as far as prayer in schools goes, the Republican committee does believe in Christian prayer in school, but they're not going to take Jews and Native Americans and exterminate them in gas chambers as far as we know. Oh, I shouldn't say as far as we know. Just go right ahead and say that you're not going to. All right. Well, I'm awfully sorry. Did that cause you some problems there, Trude? Huh? Come on, honey. Come on, give me a little kiss. Come on. Come on. Give me a squeeze on that little... Boy, you're tightening up there with that Stairmaster, aren't you? All right, Trudy Upshaw with the Republican National Committee. Well, that was my bad. I'm Dean Wheeler, and they brought me on, obviously, to...
Hold on for a minute.
What's the matter, Phil?
This is Phil Hendry. What are you doing?
Well, it was my bad. I didn't...
Yeah, okay. We're back here in Los Angeles. I just got a call from the Republican Party saying that you are on the air saying that their national platform is Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf.
I said it was my bad, and...
Forget about your bad. Don't you realize what you're doing?
Well, Phil, you know, you sent me out here to Philadelphia, and I think that it's wrong of you to do this.
Wrong of me? I gotta get you out of here, man. You're blowing it. You're blowing it. Get out of here, man. You're off the air, okay?
Well, I don't think it's fair.
I do. There's nothing in the Republican Party platform that says they want to gas Jews.
Well, I got that, but I think that's an honest mistake. I think it's an understandable mistake.
And what do you mean you're reading Mein Kampf as relaxing escapist literature?
Well, I got a real good pool at the hotel here, and I just want to, it's an indoor. And I'm a history buff.
That's fine. Don't mix your notes up. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Kill the line to Philadelphia. Kill the line.
Wait a minute, Phil. I want to...
First of all, I don't know why you got Dean Wheeler out there. Not only is he claiming that Mein Kampf is the Republican platform, he's grabbing women by the rear end. What is that all about, the Stairmaster thing? What an inappropriate lout. Okay, that's my bad, folks. Speaking of Dean, talk about his bad, that's my bad even knowing the guy. My bad that I even know him. 1-800-449-86. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to reiterate for all of the hardworking people in this country who are Republicans, I can assure you that there is nothing in the Republican Party's platform having to do with exterminating Jews, confiscating their businesses, or encouraging only black people to have abortions. As far as we know. 1-800-449... All right, no, there's none. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. We have Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and he is assisting at the Republican National Convention, an organization called the Philadelphia People's Peace Patrol. This is a another volunteer police agency. And by the way, Jay, we had an interesting time. Where are you right now?
Phil, I'm in Philadelphia right now. I'm outside of the arena where they are holding the Comcast First Union Center. They are holding the convention here. And,
well, I've had a very interesting first few minutes of this hour where we had Dean Wheeler on, and he mixed up his notes. He was reading from Mein Kampf, and
yeah, I heard that.
And apparently he thought he was reading the Republican Party's platform. So I had to get on the air and apologize, and we've had a few upset people.
Well, I can tell you, Phil, we've got a few upset people here as well, here in Philadelphia this weekend, as the Philadelphia People's Peace Patrol is trying to do its very best to maintain an atmosphere of calm around the convention, and we are assisting. I will tell you right now, Phil, and I say this officially, that the Philadelphia police have interfered with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, the California Citizens Auxiliary Police, in assisting and trying to keep things calm.
And the Philadelphia police?
That is correct.
Well, I know that you guys are not an official police department, okay?
When you say we're not an official police department, I don't know exactly what you're talking about, because...
Well, I'm saying that you guys are not authorized by any state. You're not...
We are a volunteer auxiliary police agency, but we do claim the constitutional right of citizens' arrest.
All right, but I mean, probably, when you have cops there...
Generally, Phil, police officers understand that we're trying to help them.
Well, what are you guys doing? I understand that there's been some protests.
It's been very interesting here, as a matter of fact, Phil. We are trying to do our job in the security area. The potential for violence does exist. Philadelphia People Patrol, we're doing basically trying to help the Philadelphia PD, and it's wrong. The Republican Party is doing its work right now, and it's really not encouraging to see some of the things that are happening around here. So we're trying to keep people from drunk driving, etc.
What is the biggest problem?
Right now, the biggest problem in Philadelphia, Phil, with the Republican Party is, you know as well as I do, that most female members of the Republican Party, most of the female delegates to the Republican convention, are not the most attractive women in the world. And that is certainly neither here nor there. I do not say that a person doesn't have the right to be beautiful. But when you've got a lot of one-bag and two-bag women walking the streets around the Comcast Arena here, what happens is most of the men who come to this thing get depressed. They begin to try to strap some beer goggles on a little bit earlier in the afternoon than they might ordinarily. And that is...
Well, what do you mean? The women are ugly?
I'm saying the Republican women are, yeah.
So what's going on with the guys?
What's happening with a lot of the men is they are drinking earlier to try to get beer goggles going by about 5. When they get the beer goggles on, naturally they're going to try to get these women back to their hotel. Now they're getting into cars. Now they're getting stopped. We got one guy with a 0.4 blood alcohol level, and we pulled him over. And
now you're the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're telling me that there's a lot of ugly women out there, and a guy had to drink early so he could stand going home with one?
That is correct.
How did you pull him over?
We wear a very distinctive blue armband, Phil. We also have on a pith helmet or a safari helmet. And we just simply flagged him down using flashlights and up and down motion. When you see the up and down motion and there's a blue armband on the arm, that means to stop. To stop your car and let us take a peek around.
Well, what did you find?
Well, we found that he had a blood alcohol content of 0.4, and we did get a good look. We got a good look at the woman he was with. And I got to tell you something right now, Phil. A man can do what he wants to do, but this is a spitting image of Henry Kissinger. And I can tell you that that's rough. That's got to be rough.
And The
woman he was with looked like Henry Kissinger, yeah. Can you imagine how tough that's got to be? She looked like a man. So
was it a man? I mean...
No, it was a woman. Because we do check driver's licenses, IDs. I'll tell you right now, Phil, we have emergency plans to try to bag as many of these women as we can. Now, what I'm saying by that, Phil, and that...
Well, hold on for a minute. You're stopping people. They're with ugly women. How is this posing a problem?
Phil, as I said, you got...
Yeah, but you said there's so many ugly women around the convention that guys are putting their beer goggles on early, which means they're drinking so that these women will look good.
That's right, because these guys know they got a long night ahead of them. They might as well get started early. so that they can possibly deal with being with them. What we're trying to do is keep these guys from drinking.
And so how are you stopping them?
The best thing to do is we have a Citizens Auxiliary Police. What we're trying to do is our mobile auxiliary police bag. We will bag the head of most of these Republican convention women, the delegates, a lot of the Republican women, so that the guys don't even have to look at them and can be assured of not having to slip on beer goggles when they take them home. So are you following me so far?
All right, so what you're doing is what?
What we're doing is we're putting bags over the heads of these women.
All right, so you are putting brown paper bags...
That's correct.
...over the heads of all the Republican women that you see because they're so ugly, guys are getting drunk in order to go out with them.
That is correct. And what do we get for our trouble? We get stopped by the Philadelphia police.
Well, naturally, the police are going to... I mean, the police are not going to stand for that, okay? Are you getting the consent of these women?
We are asking them as a public service.
And well, what if they say, no, I'm not going to put a bag over my head?
Well, I'm saying as a public service... And if they don't put the bag over their head, we do escort them out of the area wearing a bag. What we're asking them to do is wear a bag no matter where they are.
But if they refuse to put the bag on...
We will put the bag over their head and escort them out of the area.
What if they're delegates to the convention?
Well, if they're going into the convention, wherever it is they're going, we try to escort them there. Just get them off the street. Otherwise, we've got some big problems, and they're only getting worse. Now, this is the kind of thing, Phil, that we can do as a... law enforcement agency. Guys are drinking earlier than usual, trying to get their beer goggles on because there are a lot of really frightening women. If we can keep any of these guys from driving drunk by putting these bags over the heads of these women, we're doing a really, really, really great job. And I'm outraged by the behavior of the Philadelphia police.
Well, I think that the police are going to do that, and I do not disagree with the police. You don't have any right to put bags over the heads of women, okay?
Phil, you got to take a look at these women.
Well, whether or not you think they're good-looking or not is not the point. I don't think you have the constitutional right.
Do they have the constitutional right to go out with men who are going to have to, we're talking about multi-bag. So they're going to drink.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether it's their fault that these guys are drinking so heavily. Maybe they ought to be bringing their wives. I don't know what's going on, okay? But I'm saying that...
Well, Phil, we're asking for 24 hours so that we can bus in good-looking women and keep this thing from hemorrhaging, because this city is crippled right now. The city's crippled. We are stopping a lot of guys that are drinking.
You want to bus in good-looking women?
That is correct. So we're talking these women are nearly at the burlap stage. So if we can get some paper bags over their heads and get them out of the area and bus in good-looking women, that's the thing we want to do. And that's what the Citizens Auxiliary Police is all about.
Our number, by the way, is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Jay Santos. He's with the California Citizens Auxiliary Police, a volunteer police force. He's working hand-in-hand with the Philadelphia People's Peace Patrol. And apparently, he's telling me that they're having a higher-than-normal drunk driving rate because a lot of guys are having to drink in order to handle being with some of the uglier women that are at this convention. Is it you're saying that Republican women are ugly?
I'm saying they're uglier than Democrat women, yeah. That's why...
Yeah, but you can't blame them for these guys drinking heavily.
No, I'm not blaming the men, but I am asking the women to slip a bag over their head so that...
Well, you want the women to put the bag over their head so that the guys won't have to look at them while they're going out with them?
Right. You take her out for a date, get her out of the area, bag her head. I don't know. He can do whatever he wants to do. But I'm saying at least in the interest of security and safety here in the city of Philadelphia, put a bag on, help the city, because right now we're crippled.
Where are you busting in the good-looking women from?
Probably you'd have to get them from the Democratic Convention, which is in L.A. What we'll try to do is get some Democratic women to come in, take care of some of these guys who have been beer-goggling it, and then get them back out to L.A.
Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, having to put paper bags over the heads of Republican women because he says they're so ugly, guys are having to get drunk to be with them. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. So anyway, the kids have a rat, and the rat lives in a cage, and the cage doesn't get cleaned, and the rat doesn't get fed. So I'm the guy that does all of this, right? I clean the cage, I feed the rat. And this weekend, I saw, the rat's name is Cutie, by the way. That's what we named her. And there you go. So don't give me a hard time about it. That's the rat's name. Too bad for you. So the rat lives in the cage, and, the cage is filthy. So I said, well, you know what, Cutie, I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to clean your cage, and I'm going to get you some food, you know, some new food, some fresh food. So this thing was sitting in the cage, and I took it outside and started wiping down the cage and getting rid of all of the rat crap and getting rid of all of the rat poo and all of the bad stuff. And I took the rat, I took Cutie, and I put her in a downstairs bathroom that we have. It's a bathroom off of the kitchen. And I just put her on the floor and closed the door. And I went out and I cleaned the cage up and I put Windex and 409 and cleaned it all up and got all this new food for her and I refilled her water bottle and I did all this beautiful stuff for her. And I go and I open up the door to the bathroom. The rat's gone. It's gone. How do you figure that? Where does it go? I'm thinking I'm in a Twilight Zone. See, I don't have a very secure link to reality as it is, all right? And when stuff like that happens, I begin to doubt myself. And my wife came downstairs. I said, baby, the rat's Cutie's gone. She goes, what? I said, I put her in here. She goes, you didn't accidentally flush her down the toilet, did you? I took great offense at that, you know? I was angered by the notion, the belief that my wife harbors that however much she loves me, she thinks I'm irresponsible enough to flush a rat down a toilet. Because I told her, well, I stood over the toilet, I was taking a, you know, I was taking a break, and Cutie, I saw Cutie sitting behind the toilet tank. She was sort of watching as I was doing this. And then I flushed, and I remember seeing her looking up at me as she heard the flushing water. So no, to answer your question, I didn't throw her in the toilet, accidentally or otherwise, and drown her. And she said to me, well, okay, where is she? I said, I don't know. I don't know where. This is the goofiest thing. I think maybe she got out underneath the door. I looked everywhere. I got a flashlight. I'm looking every place. And as I said, I have a very tenuous relationship to reality, so I think sometimes I'm losing my brains. I'm losing my mind. I don't. At any minute now, I think I'm going to be in a Twilight Zone episode. I mean, that's my life, is generally waiting for the Twilight Zone episode to occur, that I will walk into a building that's completely empty, and then I'll walk out on the street that's completely empty. All of those Burgess Meredith Twilight Zone paranoid things, I think, is happening to me. And I remembered, as a matter of fact, as we were looking for Cutie in the bathroom, I was remembering that one Twilight Zone where the little girl falls into another dimension off of her bed, where they heard her, but they couldn't see her. I was thinking, and I almost said it to my wife, and I thought, well, she's going to put me in a nut house if I actually say to her, do you think the rat went into another dimension? But I didn't say it. I couldn't say it. It wasn't going to be, do you think, hey, honey, because it was like the rat went into another dimension. I didn't know where the hell the damn thing went. And Maria went back upstairs because she's trying to take care of her leg. And I'm looking around for this rat. So finally, I had flashlights everywhere, under the bed. Everything. I said, I don't know where this thing is, but she's got to still be in the bathroom. I don't know where in the bathroom. So now I start running my hand underneath this extended portion of the cabinet. You know how underneath sinks there's a cabinet? Well, there's a part that sticks out. And sure enough, I feel a hole. I can feel this hole. And sure enough, I feel Cutie's little paws on me, and she's sniffing and licking my finger. It's the rat. She crawled up into this hole and went down into this little space that's between the wall and the cabinet that these marvelous cabinet makers just sort of left exposed, you know? These guys that build new houses, where do they get these guys? You know, you read some of this crap about our fine craftsmen who build you the very finest in cabinetry, the beautiful landscaping, all this stuff. I've seen these guys work, man. They get in, they get out. Finish that cement, better get that case of beer. So this great cabinetry, I ain't even going to tell you what I spent for this house. You'd think maybe the guy could cover up holes in it. But anyway, this thing's got a hole. The rat got up in there and is in that stinking hole. So there I was, late into the night, doing this, laying on my back or laying on my side with a grape in my hand, holding the grape up to the opening of the hole and going, come here, Cutie. Come here. I did this for 2 hours last night, and she would stick her head out, grab the grape, and try to pull it back in. I couldn't figure out whether she's caught in there, or whether she's messing with me, or whether she wants a piece of me, or she messing with my mind. I don't know. Rats don't mess with your mind, do they? I don't know whether she's stuck, and I don't know, or she just digs being in there. I think she digs being in there, because she couldn't, if she got in, she can get out, right? Am I right about that? So I left a bowl of food in there overnight, and, thinking that she'll come out, and, well, screw it. I took the food out today. I'll let her freaking starve. I mean, she's bound to come out of there and try to find something to eat, right? I don't know, man. I mean, I'm a soft touch for animals, like a lot of people. I'll take a crowbar and rip the front end of that cabinet out. I'll take a crowbar and I'll just pry that thing loose, get the rat out of there. Catherine comes home this weekend, the 8-year-old, and she says, and it's Catherine's rat, and she says to me, where's I told her what happened, and she goes, I'll go, she'll probably come to me. I said, wait a minute, come to you? You're the one that doesn't clean her cage and didn't give her any water, man. Her bottle was bone dry. I'm the guy that she'll come to, and she ain't coming to me. This was the big drama. And Maria, so finally we took the cat, stuck the cat upstairs, because I said, Jesus, if that cat's loose, she'll eat that rat. And looked around for the stinking rat. So she's in this cabinet, man. What do you figure? You think she's going to come out? She's a rat. She'll die in there first, won't she? You know, let me tell you something. Rats have no loyalty. There's no loyalty in rats. There's no loyalty at all. Feed them, clean them, cage them, give them those little pellets, give them some of those sunflower seeds, give them grapes, give them cheese, give them lettuce. I give them all this crap. No loyalty whatsoever. That's the thanks I get from a rat. There's a reason why we call people odious human beings rats, because rats have no loyalty. I never thought I'd really make the connection, but I did this weekend. I'm saying, come on out of there. Don't mess with me. She's got the grape, and then she stole the stinking grape out of my hand. And then she had a piece of lettuce. She's playing tug-of-war with Catherine. I said, God, I can almost grab her and pull her out of there, but I couldn't get her. And she grabbed the lettuce out of Catherine's hand, and she's back up inside there. And I was calling all afternoon. The house, is Cutie okay? I'm talking to the boys. Did you get Cutie out of this cabinet? Is she out? No, she's not out yet. And Alex, who's the second oldest, he says, we could just let her die in there, but it'd probably stink. And now my producer, Mike Schaefer, says, did I try a trap? Yeah, that's a mouse trap. Atta, baby. I got news for you, man. I'm done with pets. I'm through because I'm the guy that winds up taking care of them. I wind up taking care of the cat. We got 4 freaking goldfish at a fair. Guess who's the guy that goes and cleans the tank out and makes sure they got fresh water? Of course, I did flush 2 of them down the toilet, but let's move past that. Anyway, I did. We had 4, and they were crapping the tank up. We had 4 in a 1 fish tank. And you talk about goldfish are filthy to begin with. Filthy. And they crap, and they leave in their tank. The water's brown. So I finally said, you know what? This tank isn't big enough. Let's get rid of 2 of them. And Catherine, I had to check with her because she's the little girl. And, you know, Catherine, what do you think, honey? I think we're going to have to make the 2 goldfish go to goldfish heaven. And she goes, waste them. Trash them. Just keep the 2 biggest, she says to me, looking up with her eyes just sort of like, yeah, that is cool. That's cool. Flush them down the toilet. Yeah, yeah. I said, well, I got to get rid of them, honey. So, just don't tell me when. Go ahead and do it and keep the 2 biggest ones. All right. So I flushed 2 down the toilet. And now what are we going to have? 2 carp sitting in our sewer somewhere? That's it. I'm the kind of guy that believes those stories, too. 2 goldfish get flushed. 5 years later, I got 15-foot man-eating carp sitting in the sewer down there someplace. And so I got rid of those, and we got the 2. And then now it's manageable, you know. But I'm the guy, I got to do all of this stuff. So now there's a rat stuck in the wall. I can tell you something right now. I'm going to pry that thing loose. I'm prying that mouse loose tonight. You know what I did, Mike, after I flushed the goldfish? I kept going back to check to make sure that they were still flushed. I was afraid they were going to swim back up. Why wouldn't they? I mean, they're breathing, they're fine, huh? I think there's like air between the tank and the... Oh, is it so they'll die in the air? Well, I don't know. I kept going back and checking the toilet, make sure they hadn't swum back up. Or, like one of these days, I'm going to see a giant fish talking to me. I don't know, man. I got to get more sleep. That's my problem. Okay, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Gee, I don't know what happened back there at the convention, but I think Dean Wheeler is in trouble. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. And now, live from the Republican National Convention, here again is Dean Wheeler.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, thanks a lot, everybody. This is Dean Wheeler, and welcome back to the Republican National Convention. And again, my apologies to everyone because I was misinformed about the Republican Party's platform, and I want to apologize again. And we do have a copy now of the Republican platform for the year 2000 and what they will be running on in terms of their philosophy for all the American people. As you know, George W. Bush is their nominee. I'm Dean Wheeler, and we are at the Republican National Convention. We're in one of the back rooms where a lot of the deals are cut. A lot of the caucuses are convened so that they can hammer out a lot of these philosophical points. My name's Dean Wheeler, W-H, two E's, an L, throw an E in, and then tag an R onto the end of that. You got Wheeler, Dean Wheeler. And here again is the Republican National Convention's philosophy. Here is the platform of the party, and Trudy Upshaw has given it to me. Number one, Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. Number two, Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. Here again is the Republican philosophy of the Republican Party. Number three. Number four, Satan represents kindness to those who deserve it instead of love wasted on ingrates. If you've just joined us, this is the platform of the Republican Party. Number five, Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. Number six, Satan represents responsibility to the responsible instead of concern for psychic vampires. I kind of like that one. That's a very beautiful thing that George Bush had put in personally. I think he liked that. Number seven, Satan represents man as just another animal, sometimes better, more often worse than those that walk on all fours, who, because of his, quote, divine spiritual and intellectual development, has become the most vicious animal of all. Number eight, Satan represents all of the so-called sins as they all lead to physical, mental, or emotional gratification. Again, you're listening to the platform of the Republican Party for election year 2000. And finally, in the Republican Party platform, number nine, Satan has been the best friend the church has ever had as he has kept it in business all these years. There again, folks, the platform of the Republican Party for election year. What's that, Trudy? Whoops, my bad. Okay, hold on for just a second. I'm now being told by Trudy Upshaw that that is not the Republican Party platform. How about that, huh? Well, okay. What do we got here, Trudy? Whatever. I was reading Anton LaVey's Nine Satanic Statements. That's right. You know, I had purchased this in a bookstore along with Mein Kampf earlier in the day, and somehow my notes got confused. Well, as Britney Spears would say, whoops, I did it again, huh? Well, that's rough. That's got to sting a lot of my Republican friends. But I'll tell you right now, I am truly sorry. Sorry I did that. Didn't mean to. Not going to do it. No good. Didn't mean to embarrass you. And
okay, are you done?
What?
Are you done?
What'd I do?
What did you do? For the second time, you've got on Mein Kampf and now the Nine Satanic Statements.
Well, I did it again.
Yeah, I'd say whoops, you did it again, babe. You know how much money it costs this show to send you to Philadelphia?
Hold on, Phil.
This has been Dean Wheeler live from the Republican Convention.
Somebody better get Phil some water.
Goes the weasel, can't you feel the rhythm on time, said the monkey.
Okay, I don't want that guy on my show ever again as long as I live on this planet. As long as I draw air, as long as I'm drawing breath, I don't want Dean Wheeler on the show. We put him on once, he's got the Mein Kampf. And then this is what? The Nine Satanic Statements, the Republican Party's. For those of you who were calling, I apologize. we got a certain budget. We got a guy to go out to the Republican Party convention, and the next thing you know, he's laying this stuff on us. Naturally, it's shocking to me as well as to you. Believe me, it shocks me even more than you. Somebody called in and said, what the heck's the difference between the 9 satanic statements and the Republican Party's platform? And I think that that's insulting. Another guy called in and said, are you sure that wasn't the Republican Party platform and not Mein Kampf? I said, I can assure you, sir. So, Wheeler, you are dead meat. As far as I'm concerned, you will never play piano again, man. You have really tightened my jaws for the last time. And I can assure you, as I said before, I'm awfully sorry. What does he want? I don't want to talk to the guy. Dean, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, Phil, I know what you're saying. Let me just explain something.
You know exactly what I'm saying. You come on this show, 2 hours, I gave you to prep for this thing. You came on at 5 o'clock, and you're giving me Mein Kampf and the 9 satanic statements. Where is the Republican Party platform that you were supposed to get?
Trudy Upshaw, Phil, promised me a copy of that, and I didn't get that. What I did get was a synopsis of one of George Bush's speeches, and I mixed that around. So I'm real sorry, but I don't think there's too much damage done. And
no, there's not a lot of damage done. I've just had all kinds of people calling me and telling me I'm a pile of crap. And
well, we found a weak link, Phil. I think in what was going on, Trudy Upshaw is at fault here because
Trudy Upshaw. Who is she anyway?
She's some kid that she's fired. I'll get rid of her. She's some kid they hired. And
I don't even know who Trudy Upshaw is.
She's the one that was giving me all the information.
Did she buy Mein Kampf?
Well, no.
Who bought that?
I did.
As relaxing summer reading, right?
Yeah.
And who bought the Satanic Bible?
Well, I got to plead guilty on that one, too. There again, it's me.
There again, it's you. And somehow, your notes from the... And what are you doing taking notes from the Satanic Bible anyway?
Well, you know, that's kind of something between myself and my creator. I don't think that's any of your business.
Okay, you know what? It may not be any of my business, man, but you can't come on this show pretending like you are doing the thing and you're reading from the Satanic Bible. So bug off. You're fired.
Even though Trudy is fired.
Even though you fired Trudy, you're fired too.
Well, okay. Trudy, you're rehired then.
Yeah. Have fun with Trudy. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, our website, philhendryshow.com, has a link where you can purchase the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD. Our Year 2000 CD is on its way. And it's going to be a good one, I believe. I think it's going to be better than last year. $151,000 we've raised so far with the sale of our Communism is Neat, Best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999 CD. So the 2000 is on its way and some other things coming up. Mein Kampf. 1-800-449-8686.